You see, the other day, a couple of weeks ago, Abby and I were talking, and she asked me, Daddy, what's heaven like? And I proceeded to tell her about the streets of gold, and the crystal sea, and the angels, and that we're going to be with God forever. And then she kind of tilts her head, like, okay, well, what are we going to look like? And I said, that's a good question, Abby. We're not going to have these bodies. We're going to have heavenly bodies that we may be in the presence of a perfect and holy God. And even more confused, she kept looking at me, and she said, well, what will we talk about? Will we talk about food? And I said, I hope so. And she said, will we talk about animals? And I said, yes. Will we talk about fish? And I said, yes. Will we talk about Jesus? And I said, yeah, we will. But it'll be a little different, though, Abby, because we're going to be talking about Jesus, what he has done in our lives. And at that moment, I realized that it's going to be a different experience talking about Jesus in heaven. I mean, the gospel message in heaven would have been revealed and fulfilled for us in heaven. But then that also brought a deep realization in my heart with this conversation with my daughter Abby, 7 years old, that it's too late for the lost to hear the gospel. Because then for them it would have been already revealed and fulfilled, but for them it would be forever separated from God. And those who had faith in the Messiah would be in the presence of God, who trusted in Christ would be in the presence of God, but everyone else would be condemned already. And I realized at this moment that with Abby, sharing the gospel is so very important, because there won't be another time for the lost to hear it, especially when they have already been judged by a righteous and perfect God. You see, the last time I was up here behind this pulpit, we talked about the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? What is the objectives, the goals that we have here? And I preached that the mission of the church, and how we all, together, we all need to remain faithful to it, to that mission, because it is God's mission. The mission of the church is to fulfill the mission of God. And we read from the scriptures, that from 1 Timothy 2, that God desires all men to be saved, right? God desires all men to be saved. And we're going to continue with that theme. We looked at the broad picture last time, a few weeks ago, and we're going to zoom in and see what it is exactly God wants for us in our personal lives in terms of that mission. So missions, like I said before, missions is our origin here. Missions is our calling. Missions is our ministry. Missions is our mission here on earth. So you'll see in your sermon notes, I hope everyone has one, it's somewhat imperative because it's very collaborative on terms of us participating. You'll see in the front, the mission of the church, part two. The mission, I think I have it on the slide. The mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then gathering these disciples into churches, that they might worship and obey Jesus Christ now and in eternity to the glory of God the Father. So if you are unclear right there, that is the mission of God. That is the mission of the church. That is the mission of Trinity Baptist Church right here. So the mission of God is that every man is to be saved through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And since that is the mission of God, that is the mission of for us. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the childlike faith that children have. That's weird to say, Lord, but thank you, God, that we are here. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony that children have before us in faith in Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you be with us right now. as we worship you in reading your word. Reveal to us, God, who you are, what you have done, what you will do. And God, call us to obedience that we may follow wherever Christ leads us, God. We commit this service to you, O Lord, not to us, but to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So everyone, please let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Turn your Bibles. If you have a phone or a device, go ahead and flip open that Bible app. I trust that you will be only looking at your Bible app and not updating FaceSpace or the Twitter sphere. But Romans 1, verse 16. Before we start, I want to talk about the background of Romans real fast. So like a composer, okay, or writing a good essay or thesis, Paul starts with praising the gospel, this gospel message, as the power of God for the salvation for everyone who believes it, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And so why does Paul give this one paragraph message such lofty claims that is the power of God? Well, because the gospel message reveals the righteousness of God, as we'll see in Romans 1:17. For the gospel message makes salvation possible for everyone who believes it. That is why. Because the gospel message, believing, having faith in Christ through the gospel message, makes salvation available for everyone who believes it. And that's why Paul says it is the power of God. And the gospel is good news. Well, the gospel is good news because it is so good. The reason why you need good news is because the bad news is so bad. The bad news is this, that all of man has fallen short to the glory of God. Not one man stands righteous, no, not one. Every mouth is silenced and is held accountable to God. So compared to a righteous and holy and perfect God, no religious man stands any better than a immoral criminal. And that's the bad news. It's so bad. We are condemned. We are made in the image of God to know God, and yet we turn ourselves away from him and refuse to acknowledge his existence, so he must punish sinners and wrongdoers. And alike, everyone, Jew, Gentile, Jew, non-Jew, are without hope because all have sinned. And Romans, praise the Lord, is about good news. So here it is, okay? The gospel. I said the gospel like 50 times already. So let me make it clear to you. The gospel message is this: God is our creator, and who is loving and merciful, yet I have sinned, yet you have sinned. We have sinned against him and separated ourselves from him by our sin. And, you know, in God's love and mercy, he could have just allowed us to live worldly lives with some sinful pleasures and then allowed us to fall fully under his judgment. He could have done that. But in his amazing and in his unparalleled love, he sent his son down in human flesh, Jesus, fully God, fully man. And this Jesus lived a perfect life that I should have lived in fellowship with God. And he died a death that I deserved because I didn't live a perfect life or have fellowship with God. And God raised him from the dead and calls me now to believe and repent of my sins and turn away from my sins, so that Jesus, as my Savior, so that which I deserve, I will not get. And that which Jesus deserved for me will be given to me. And so I have faith in him. And so I trust in him. And that is the gospel message. We need to stay on mission. We need to share that with people who do not know God and do not know Jesus, or people who refute all their lives to reject the idea that God exists, that they too might receive Jesus as their Savior. So let's go ahead and look at Romans 1:16. Read along with me. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You see, Paul says he is unashamed. He is not embarrassed of. He is not cowardly towards. He is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is his calling and the message that he must bring from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. It is his mission that he might make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all the things that Christ has taught him. And it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. If you look here in Romans 1:16, salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See this second portion of the verse, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, means that the gospel message isn't just for Gentiles, it's also for the Jews. It's also for the people of God. It is also for the Hebrew. But it is for us as well. We have a means to become children of God as well. And that's why Paul is so proud of it, to share it. Paul covers this theology of salvation in later chapters, in chapters 9 through 11, which we will overall feast on together when Pastor Dave walks us through Romans. You see, I remember when one of our now senior high students in our youth group, was really excited to tell me about one of the field trips they went on. And as they were walking up the stairs into our youth room in our youth night, I saw their face lit up, and their voices got louder, and their tone was passionate. Their body language, you know, it said it all. And they couldn't wait to tell me and their peers about this trip, what it meant to them, what they've experienced, and what they've seen. And you see, what Paul is doing here, he is testifying to the church in Rome with the same vigor. He gives the good news in the beginning of this book. If you read Romans 1, he gives the good news of grace in the beginning. He says that he needs support from the churches so that he can reach other people in other countries with this same gospel message. And he wants to visit and preach the gospel in Rome because he is unashamed of this gospel message because it is the power of God. Consider, everyone, if you've read the book of Acts, if you've read 2 Corinthians, consider what Paul has been through. See, by the time he wrote Romans right here that we're looking at, he's finished 3 missionary journeys. He's been shipwrecked. He's received the 40 lashes minus 1. He's been persecuted. He's been without food for days. He's been without water for days. And still he says that he is unashamed of this gospel because it can save lives. Because, as we'll see, it reveals the righteousness of God. So if you feel like, I'm asking you to do a lot, share the gospel. If that worries you, if you feel the pressures of that charge, and if you feel like you're putting your reputation at risk, if you feel like I might become that one family member, or I might become that one coworker who can't stop talking about Jesus, or you become that one member of the family where nobody wants to talk philosophy or any other kind of thing with you because you'll throw the gospel message out as a rebuttal to everything they say. This is, hear me out. This is the gospel message right here. That we are separated from a perfect God because of our sin, and since He is perfect, His judgments are perfect, He must send all wrongdoers and sinners to hell. But in His kindness, He sends His Son Jesus to live a life perfect and to take our place for our sin and die the death that we deserve. And through this act of grace, we are redeemed to our Creator and have fellowship with God so long as we repent of our sin and believe in Christ as our Savior. That is the gospel message. This message saves souls. This message saves the lost. This message calls evil men out of darkness. This message gives hope to the hopeless. This message gives love to the unloved. And this message gives grace to the humble. How can we hide it? How can we be ashamed of it? How can we be so fearful to not share it? You see, this reminds me of a famous magician. I almost said musician. Magician. And he, his name eludes me. But he did a show. He happens to be an atheist. But he did a show. And after the show, this man comes up to him and he says, "Here, I want to give this to you." And the magician takes it and he looks at it, and it's a gospel tract. And he says, "You know, I'm an atheist, right? I don't believe this." So the man says, "I really like your show. I just want you to know, hear this message at least once, and that's it." So some time passes, and the magician posts a short video on the internet, and he asks why no other evangelical or no other Christian or no other Protestant has come up to him after a show to simply give him a tract also. Why have we hidden this message of love from a people that need it? Why is this the only man that shared his faith with him? And I want to ask us together the same question. Are we keeping the gospel away from people? Are we hiding it because we're afraid that we might mess up the words, or we don't know all the answers, or maybe we don't even believe it ourselves? Are we hiding these questions, this gospel message from people? I want us to be a springboard for the gospel to be shared here at Trinity. If you could have a glimpse into my mind, I want us to become that church. Trinity Baptist? We can't get enough of them. They just keep spreading the gospel. Oh, Trinity Baptist was here? Oh, it's obvious. Look at all the tracks that are everywhere. They just keep leaving it in front of doorsteps. Let's be a springboard for that. So follow along with me back to the verses. Romans 1:16. "For I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So Paul is using Old Testament wording in this verse. Something to understand about the church in Rome at this time. Out of 500 members, there were 250 of it were Jewish converts, Jewish Christians. And then there were Gentile Christians, the rest of the 250. So it was about half. And there were a lot of problems that they had, as you can read in Romans, problems amongst that demographic. But Paul is using Old Testament wording here First, he expresses that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. God is holy and just. Therefore, God judging sinners is holy and just. But also, God saving sinners is holy and just. Second, Paul says that the gospel is necessary for the Jew first to believe. Historically, a little bit of background, Israel has a gospel message. You could read it through the first five books of the Old Testament and the rest of the prophets. Israel has a gospel message, and this is what it is. It'll ring in your head when I say it. That they were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years, worshiping their gods and serving in their temples. But in their despair, they called out for a deliverer and for deliverance. And God heard and did not forget the promises that he made with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God delivered them out of the land of Egypt through the hand of Moses and led them to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And eventually, over time, God will promise them a coming Messiah that will save them from their burdens and bondages and will rule as their king. So that is their gospel message. That is their good news. But Paul is saying here now that the Messiah has come. They are obviously fulfilled in their promised land. And still some Jews did not believe. Most Jews did not believe that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah. So Paul is still saying, you must repent and believe in Christ, the Messiah. And right here, if you look at it, at the last portion of Romans 17, 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith. I think it's best translated, the one who is righteous by faith shall live. The one who is righteous by faith shall live. Because Paul gives chapters 3 and 4 an expounding of that claim. The one who is righteous by faith will live. And you see, these two passages, that we're only covering these two, Romans 1:16 and 17. These two passages stand alone as Paul's thesis for the rest of the book of Romans. He writes, so these two verses, he writes 15 more chapters explaining what he means there. So that the church in Rome and the church today would understand why he is unashamed of it and why it has the power to save souls. Today, just a tidbit, I just want to let you know that Romans is typically understood to be, among scholarly circles, to be the fifth gospel, the gospel according to Paul, because it is so full of great news. So here we are, Romans 1:16 and 17, for I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous by faith shall live. You see, the call to evangelize is a command. I don't tell Abby to clean her room and she comes back, Daddy, guess what? It's been an hour and I memorized what you said. You told me to clean your room. You told me right here, I have it in my mind, clean your room. I spent an hour doing it. Well, Abby, did you clean your room? No, but I memorized it. I memorized what you said. It's right here. No, I'm not saying, Abigail, if you can, maybe, possibly, you should go clean your room. No, I'm saying, Abigail, go clean your room. And Jesus says, go and make disciples. But some people say, no, God, Jesus, I memorized it right here. I spent an hour memorizing those three verses right here. But did you go and make disciples? It can only, believe it or not, the gospel message could only be brought by disciples of Jesus. It can only be brought by people who believe it, by people who can testify to it, and people who live it out. Christians. And remember that Jesus didn't say, give us an impossible mission and let us free. No, he says, he prefaced his commission with the statement, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And having all that authority, He commissioned the disciples and us as agents of good news. And therefore, we have, by the authority, by the person who has all authority in heaven and on earth, we have the right to share the gospel to all nations. And Jesus said he would promise to send us the Holy Spirit. And although Jesus is in heaven right now, praise the Lord, he would nonetheless be with us to the very end of the age. Therefore, church, if the church is to be faithful to its Lord and bring joy to his heart, it must be engaged in bringing the gospel to all people. This includes people from whom by nature we tend to dislike. This includes people who are unlike us. This includes people who are not in our immediate area of influence and contact. The only difference lies in how far the radius goes, how far you'll bring the gospel to. Because local evangelism, church extension, church planting, world missions are all the same. We're doing the same thing. It's just proximity is different. So preaching the gospel is so important to Christ. Therefore, it needs to be important to us. If it does not, if bringing the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not a priority for us, Trinity, then we may become spiritually ill. For we are wanting to function as something that Jesus did not intend us to. No evangelizing? So for us to think, oh, the pastors will do it. Oh, the elders will reach Valencia for us. Oh, I'll just let the people who are outgoing and outspoken do it. I'll just let the teachers who are comfortable with speaking out and speaking in front of audiences and shaking people's hands to do it. Who are supposed to share the gospel? All Christians. Amen. Every single one of us are to step out and reach a friend, reach a coworker, reach a family member. If it does not, we will run the risk of being spiritually ill. You see, local evangelizing is key. This is how we got here. Right? Someone, we believe the gospel, so we began to gather here in close proximity, and therefore we should reach others who are close to us, that they might also meet with us here in this beautiful meeting place. Now that we've gotten the big, deep theology of missions, of the gospel, making it clear, I want to hand you a few things that will help you in your personal evangelizing. So take your sermon note. It's muy importante that you have it in front of you right now. Number one, pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with, I want you to put someone's name right there. Two or three people who you know is not a believer and have a regular interaction with. Put right there. Pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with Tony. Okay? But I want you to just pray for that. I want you to also act upon that opportunity. Okay? You can't, Bruce Mueller says, if you're going to pray for rain, you better bring an umbrella. So, if you're going to pray for Tony to come, for you to have an opportunity to share the gospel, your faith with Tony, then you better bring an umbrella and be ready for that, to act upon it. You're going to feel like you're frozen or you're fearful or something wants to come out of your mouth. Words want to come out of your mouth. And that's, for me, that's the Holy Spirit saying, do it right now. you're going to miss your chance if you don't do it right now. So if you're going to pray for this opportunity, which I hope you do, which you need to do, then also capitalize on it. Second, I want you to be clear with the gospel message. That's all you need to bring to that conversation. Don't worry about other arguments. Don't worry about what Plato says. Don't worry about what other religions believe. Just bring with you the gospel message and make sure that it's clear. Okay? Make sure that it's clear. Just be clear about the gospel. Third, I want you to use your personal testimony as a means to sharing the gospel message. It allows you to open yourself up to them. It allows you to get on a real level. Don't be afraid to say that God has changed your life. Don't be ashamed to say that following Christ and obeying His commands is the best thing that you can ever do. Don't be afraid to say that. Use your personal testimony as a driving force for them to see, wow, this Jesus is real. This Jesus is real. And lastly, I want you to use the church. Use the church. Use the church by inviting your friend or family member to see, not just to fill this place, but to see what the gospel has done in other people's lives. I mean, we are the visible manifestation of the power of God. So bring your friends to see that. Use your testimony. And if they still don't believe you, well, we have 120 members who have said, who have the same experience, conversion story, and come see them. So use the church. So pray for an opportunity to share the gospel, and pray for someone by name. Give yourself a target for your mission. Also, be clear with the gospel message. Third, use your personal testimony. Fourth, use the church by inviting your friends to see what the gospel has done in others' people's lives. Invite them to a church that preaches the gospel. And I have on the back, lastly, last few things for us today. I have, it's not a script, but it kind of is. So follow along with me. It says, do you think you're a good person? This is you asking the other person. Do you think you're a good person? And I have the Ten Commandments for you because the scripture says that the law is for the lost. The scripture says the law is for the lost. So we all know these ten commandments. So if you're witnessing to someone and you say, "Do you think you're a good person?" and they say, "I think so," yes or no, you say, "Well, let's put that to the test. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen?" And if they say yes, you say, "If you were judged by these Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty?" And if they say, "Oh, I'd still be innocent, God is good," then you walk them through the remaining eight Ten Commandments, because this reveals also the righteousness of God. And then if they say guilty, then you would ask, "Would you go to heaven or hell?" And if they say hell, well, if they say heaven, then you walk them through the Ten Commandments again, because it is important for them to see the bad news for them to receive the good. So if they say, "I'm guilty, I'd probably go to hell," and you would ask, "Does that concern you?" And if yes, you say, "I have great news for you." It's right here. I'm reading right here. All right. "I have great news for you. God sent His very own Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place, to die for your sins, to die for your guilt, so that you wouldn't have to die. And all you have to do is repent of your sin and believe in Jesus to be your Savior, and you will be saved, and now you can have you can have fellowship with God." And that is the gospel message. It's not too hard. It's not impossible neither. It may be difficult for some of us, but it's not impossible. I just want to reiterate that the mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship, and obey Jesus Christ now and in eternity for the glory of God the Father. So that is our mission, church. That is what will drive our programs here. That is what will drive our Bible teachers here. That is what will drive Pastor Dave's ministry here. The gospel message. So let's reach Indio. Can we do that? Let's reach Indio. Let's reach 92201. Let's reach Tocquits. Let's go down miles. And let's reach Valencia for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, your written word, God, that you have also blessed your church with. We pray, O Lord, that not only would we read, not only would we memorize, not only would we wear it around our neck, but God, may we be obedient to it. Heavenly Father, we pray, as you are so good to us, Father, we pray a strengthening in our hearts, a strengthening, God, that we may be bold and courageous to share the gospel with someone, God, this year, with two people, with three people. Not only for numbers, God, you know that only that they might be saved from your wrath. And God, you know it. We pray, God, give us hope. Encourage one. Help us to encourage one another. Help us, God, to strengthen one another as we pack up, put on our gear, deploy for your name's sake into this city. And reach India with the gospel message, Lord God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.